Well, friends, this morning we get to hear about a man who lived out the truths of the song we have just sung together. We get to hear about a man who got to see Jesus when initially he couldn't. There's a theme that has been developing in the Gospel of Luke. From what we've seen, some of that theme of seeing from last week with a blind beggar, finally getting to see Jesus. We're going to talk about today about another man who got to see Jesus. And we're going to see why and how he got to see Jesus. The story that we're about to look at is one of the favorite children's stories. Perhaps because the man in the story that we're about to look at, that got to see Jesus, acted like children. He went up to climb into a tree. You know who I'm talking about. His name is, children, Zacchaeus. Well, let's open God's word to Luke chapter 19. We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 10. As Jesus continues his journey towards Jerusalem, he encounters another man who wants to see him. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is God's word for us this morning. Would you bow with me, asking God to bless the preaching of his word and our hearing? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you for Christ. We praise you for what he reveals to us in this passage about himself. Would you help me preach this text in a way that you have intended it? And would you, oh Lord, work in our hearts in such a way that we may hear it and hear the purposes that you have for us through this passage of Scripture? Would you do so by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, so that our hearts may be edified and drawn to you? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Children, this is your text. What do you do with a man who acts like children? He climbs up in trees. Now, this is not Spider-Man. This is not a child, though he outwardly is as little as a child, physically, stature-wise. Here's a strange starting point. An adult man climbing up a tree. Why is he doing that? He's not having an identity crisis. He heard that Jesus was passing by. He wanted to see Jesus. What a determination in this man. What a creative move in this man, wanting to see Jesus. In some ways, it would be sweet if more people acted like Zacchaeus. Not to climb up trees, not in that sense, but to do whatever it takes to get to see Jesus. To try to work through whatever hindrances are in our way, to try to get our eyes on Jesus. Now, of course, we cannot do that physically because Jesus is no longer physically here on earth. But there's a way to get our minds and our hearts and the eyes of our lives, our minds, on Jesus. And if we work through whatever hindrances get in the way, it's possible that our lives may experience a drastic change if we get our eyes on Jesus. Now, before we get too deep into the story, it's important to clarify that this story is not about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as striking as he is as a character in the story, as strange as he behaves at the beginning of the story, he actually is not the main character of the story. The primary point of the story is actually given to us in our passage. And that point is not about Zacchaeus. That point is about Jesus. What Jesus says about himself at the end of the story is the main point of the story. So, would you go with me to the very last verse that I read, verse 10, and there we will find the main point of this story. Verse 10, Jesus says at the end, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's what this story is about. This is what Jesus wants you and I to take away from this story. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But there's something powerful happening as the story unfolds. Because the story of Zacchaeus is proving this point, is bringing us to this main lesson. There's something powerful in this story as the story unfolds. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost when the crowds don't want it. That's what this story is emphasizing for us. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to save the lost, even when the crowds don't want it. So let's look at these two points as the story unfolds. Jesus came to seek the lost. As the story starts with Zacchaeus seeking to see Jesus, it's unclear what his motivations were. Was Zacchaeus interested to see the face of a new celebrity walking through his town? Or was Zacchaeus aware that Jesus developed this reputation of being the friend of sinners and tax collectors? And he wanted to see, who is this guy who's the friend of sinners and tax collectors? We don't know what made Zacchaeus interested in Jesus. We don't know what made him curious. But that's how he starts. And Luke tells us that he is not just an average guy. He's a tax collector, and not just an average tax collector. In verse 2, we're told that he's a chief tax collector. He's like the boss of the other tax collectors. He's the head of the other tax collectors. And also, he was rich. Now, keep these two descriptions of Zacchaeus in mind. They'll come in handy later. It's not the first time when a rich person is interested in Jesus in this gospel. It happened in the previous chapter, chapter 18, with a rich young ruler. Remember how he came to Jesus and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Here's another rich man interested in seeing Jesus. But this rich man's problem was his stature. He was short, so short that when he wanted to see Jesus with his physical eyes, he couldn't. And no one made room for him. Crowds, in the last two chapters, crowds have a way of becoming a hindrance for the people who want to get close to Jesus. Crowds were a hindrance to the blind beggar in the passage we saw last week. And here the crowds again are a hindrance to a man who wants to see Jesus. Well, friends, there's a way in which crowds, others, peers, have a way of becoming a hindrance between the people who want to see Jesus and Jesus. And friends, I don't know about you, but some of the pressure of society, of others, may become a hindrance, and you may find yourself with a similar kind of pressure that others become a hindrance between you and Jesus. But this man by the name of Zacchaeus found a solution. He was determined to get what he wanted. Now, before we are too positively sympathetic towards Zacchaeus, let's remember he was a chief tax collector. You don't become a chief tax collector if you don't know how to get your way around and get what you want. This man was determined to get what he wanted. So he climbed up a tree, and the plan worked. But Zacchaeus was in a big surprise as the plan unfolded. It's not simply that he finally got to see who Jesus was. More importantly, and this is where the story gets interesting, it's not that a man climbed up a tree to see Jesus. It's that Jesus got to see Zacchaeus. What's more important than Zacchaeus seeing Jesus is that when Jesus walked beneath that tree, he looked up. Look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." How did Jesus know to look up when he got under that tree? How did Jesus know that Zacchaeus was in the tree? And more, how did Jesus know the name of the man who climbed up in the tree? These two individuals have not met before. That's why Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. He had heard of his reputation. He had not seen him. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Oh, friends, the surprise in this moment is that the one who thought was seeking to see Jesus was actually seen by Jesus and sought by Jesus and known by Jesus. Isn't this experience often that we have when we begin showing some interest in the Lord? When we begin seeking the Lord, when we begin going out of our way to get a sight of who He is, we start realizing that He gets a sight of us. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to read the Bible, especially the Gospels, to explore the claims of Christianity. But as you open the Gospels to read that, and as you examine the Bible to explore the claims of God and the Christianity, don't be surprised that as you read, you might start realizing that the Bible begins examining you. Because when you start looking for Jesus and seeking Jesus, it really may feel like you're the one doing the seeking, but in reality, it is God who is seeking you. It is God who is seeing you. It is God who is examining you through the Bible. And this is what Zacchaeus must have felt like. He came to see Jesus, and he ended up being seen by Jesus and being talked to by Jesus, being addressed by him by name. And Jesus had a plan for Zacchaeus. And I love this one. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry, come down, because I must stay at your house today." Wow. This is the only time we know in the Gospels that Jesus invites himself over someone's house. Now listen, first century social norms are definitely different than our norms today. But even in first century society, this was borderline crossing and breaking social boundaries. Now, today, for sure, I mean, just imagine if at the end of the service, someone just walks up to you today and just said, "I must come to your house today." There's not even a, "Hey, how are you doing today? What are you up to today? Can I come over?" There's no, like, asking for permission to come over. There's this moment, "I must come over." What do you do with that? Listen, we encourage one another to do hospitality. You know that. And I wonder if some of us just need to say, "I must come over to your house today." Would you run away? Would you feel like, "Whoa, this is a creepy church"? I mean, I know they like to do membership and commitment to one another, but this is too much. Put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes. Would you like Jesus to talk to you like this? "I must come over today. But Lord, the house is not made up. It's not cleaned up. I'm not ready for you." Zacchaeus thought he only wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus wanted to go to his house. God always has bigger plans than you think he has for you. Jesus was not satisfied simply to be seen by Zacchaeus. He wanted to go over his house to be with Zacchaeus. Friends, there are some people who only want to see Jesus from afar. There are some people who only want to see Jesus from a distance. And they would feel a little creepy, uncomfortable, not ready to hear that Jesus wants to come over. Friends, the Jesus of this text wants to come over. And he's not asking for permission to come over. Did you hear the imperative? Did you hear that necessity? "I must come to your house." This is how Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. You thought Zacchaeus was a little strange in climbing up a tree to look for Jesus? Here's how strange Jesus is. He's just telling Zacchaeus flat out, I must come over. Oh, friends, this is how Jesus is seeking a lost man, by seeing him, by knowing him, by wanting to be with him at his house and not giving him the option. He's just saying, I'm coming. Get down. Now, when Jesus is acting this way, I mean, I feel like Jesus is sort of like forcing his way in, and the answer is yes, he is. It is Jesus who is the determined seeker. When Jesus is doing this, and then the way he interprets it at the end in verse 10, that the Son of Man came to seek the lost, he is doing what God predetermined and said ahead of time, centuries earlier to the prophet Ezekiel. Remember the passage we've read earlier in Ezekiel 34? When God had confronted the poor leadership of the leaders of Israel, and then said, I will look for my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. The leaders of Israel should have known the prophecy of Ezekiel. The leaders of Israel should have known that God has planned to look for the lost. And Jesus here is fulfilling that prophecy. In the interaction Jesus had with Zacchaeus, Jesus shows that he is determined to look for the lost. Jesus knows where to find you. Jesus knows your name. Jesus tells you that he wants to be with you. Jesus says he wants to come over. That's how Jesus begins searching, seeking for the lost. As Zacchaeus came down and received Jesus in his home, we read that the crowd grumbled against Jesus. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. This crowd did not understand Jesus. They did not understand his purpose of compassion and mercy to look for those who were too far off, who had strayed too far deep. In ancient times, a fellowship meal communicated more than just offering food to someone. It communicated acceptance. It communicated closeness. So when Jesus takes the initiative to go over to this man's house, Jesus was already planning to do something amazing by going over to Zacchaeus' house. How can Jesus communicate acceptance to such a sinner as a tax collector? This was a question in the minds of the leaders, of those who were grumbling at this event. Plus, he was the chief tax collector. In their eyes, this man was a traitor. This man was working for the enemy. This man was working for the government, for the Romans. This man was oppressing people by taking more money than he should have. If only the crowds would have had the eyes to see that Jesus could save this man. But they didn't. They forgot that God said in Ezekiel 34 that God himself will come to look for the lost, that he will bring back the strayed. But these people who grumbled did not have the eyes to see the determination of Jesus to seek the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. He's determined to seek the lost, as we see it in this first part. But then the second part, we see that Jesus not only is determined to seek the lost. Point number two, Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. And we get some initial clues about how Jesus' invitation was already beginning to stir up Zacchaeus' heart. When we see the way Zacchaeus responded at the initiation that Jesus had, at the invitation or at the decree that Jesus said, I'm coming over. Verse 6, we read about Zacchaeus that he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. This picture of even hurrying. He's ready. What Jesus told him, like he's ready to act on it. There's no hesitation. There's no caution. There's no delay. But hurry in responding to this awkward, strange invitation. And then we also read that he received him joyfully. There's no suspicion here. And definitely there's no grumbling, as the crowds were grumbling. There's not even a sense of panic. Oh my goodness, I'm not ready. I don't have stuff in the freezer. I don't know what to do. Oh no. He's receiving Jesus joyfully. Oh, friends, this is how Jesus wants to be received. This is how Jesus wants people to respond to him. Immediately and joyfully receiving him. With gladness of heart. Let me ask those of us who are already followers of Jesus, do you remember the day when you have received Jesus? Remember the joy that you had? Do you still have it? Is that joy still with you? For those of us this morning who may not have a time in your mind when you can look back and see that you've received Jesus, today would be a great day to do what Zacchaeus did. Hurry. Don't hesitate. Receive him joyfully. He wants to come over. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in your life. Don't hesitate. Hurry. Receive him joyfully. Once Christ entered Zacchaeus' house, strange things happen. Notice what Luke records for us. This story is full of strange things. It started strange with a man climbing up in a tree. It moved on to a strange invitation of Jesus saying, I must come over. And now that Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house, another strange thing happens. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. I don't know what Jesus said to Zacchaeus that got Zacchaeus to respond in this way. What's clear is that after Jesus enters Zacchaeus' house, there was significant change of heart in Zacchaeus. And we know that the heart was changed because Zacchaeus' view and use of money has changed. And Zacchaeus' plan, how to deal with his past frauds, have changed. Remember what Luke told us about Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and you don't become a chief tax collector by your integrity. You didn't get to be a chief tax collector because you did everything by the book. And then Luke told us that he was rich. Remember the previous rich man that was interested in Jesus back in chapter 18? Remember how in chapter 18, Jesus commanded the rich man who was interested in inheriting eternal life. Remember how Jesus commanded the rich man to sell everything, give to the poor, and then follow Jesus? And remember how the rich man who heard clear instructions from Jesus, clear commands of what he must do, remember how he responded? He went away sad, unwilling to do what Jesus told him. The rich man in chapter 18 was unwilling to detach his heart from his possessions. And here's Zacchaeus, another rich man. We don't know if Jesus has spoken a word to Zacchaeus about his possessions. It is possible that Jesus said nothing about possessions to Zacchaeus. And yet, Zacchaeus is voluntarily saying, I'm giving them away. I'm giving half of my possessions away. I mean, can you imagine what was the CPA of this tax collector thinking about him? Say, what did you do with half of your wealth? What happened to you that day that all your wealth just was cut in half? And for Zacchaeus to tell him, oh, Jesus showed up at my house. What did Jesus have to do with that? Everything. Let me tell you. I don't know what was going on in Zacchaeus' mind. I don't know what kind of conversations happened that day. But here's what's amazing. Zacchaeus, out of his own initiative, just offers to give away half of his possessions. And it's not just that he wants to give away half of his possessions, but he also wants to make right any past frauds. Oh, friends, Zacchaeus' heart has changed. Not because he gave away his possessions, oh, friends, Zacchaeus' heart was changed, and because of that, he gave away his possessions. You see, Zacchaeus' heart got changed because Jesus came over to his house. Zacchaeus' heart was changed because Jesus came over. I want to clarify this. The decision to give away half of his money is not what caused Zacchaeus to be saved. Rather, it's the evidence that salvation has come to this man's house. That's what Jesus says in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus did not get saved because he gave his money away. Zacchaeus gave his money away because he got saved. And we must be very clear about that cause and effect relationship. What Zacchaeus does here is evidence that Jesus brought salvation with him when he came to Zacchaeus' house. I love how J.C. Ryle, the Anglican pastor, said beautifully, converted sinners will always give evidence of their conversion. Converted sinners will always give evidence of their conversion. He then said, also, a faith that does not purify the heart and life is not saving faith at all. Grace that cannot be seen, like light, and tasted, like salt, is not saving grace, but hypocrisy. Jesus came to Zacchaeus' heart, life, and brought salvation into his heart. Why is Luke telling us all this? Well, remember how the dialogue went in chapter 18 when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? Remember how Jesus, after the ruler, young ruler, went away disappointed and saddened, Jesus gave some warnings that were stern and hard. He said, how difficult it is, this is Luke 18, 24, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? Remember that question. Who can be saved? And Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. The story of Zacchaeus is recorded for us here to show us that rich people can enter the kingdom. But it's not because of a human possibility. It's because the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It is possible with him to save what other people think are too far, too great to rescue. The crowd in the story did not think that it's possible for Jesus to save such a man. The crowd in the story has already cast judgment on how far deep and how far broken and how far irreparable this sinner named Zacchaeus was. But here is Jesus, determined to seek the lost. Here's Jesus, determined to save Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one who seeks us. Jesus is the one who saves us. Jesus can do it. Jesus will do it. Even when in our minds and hearts, we think it's too hard, too impossible, too difficult. Well, friends, the mission Jesus is on continues today as well. Jesus wants to seek sinners. Jesus wants to save sinners. And when he saves, he so changes our hearts that we voluntarily begin to change our affections, our plans, our relationship to possessions, our relationship to the past. We willingly want to repair what was broken in the past. Because that's what Jesus does when he comes in. He doesn't just remain a guest in the house. He changes the heart. And out of a changed heart, new directions begin emerging. In some people, those new directions happen instantly, clearly, visibly. In others, those changes are slower. But the change must be there. The change must be seen if it's genuine. It's impossible for those changes not to be seen. It's impossible for those fruits not to become visible when God changes a heart. The mission of Jesus continues today. He's determined to seek. He's determined to save. He's determined to change hearts in such a way that it reorients 180 degrees the direction of our lives, the desires of our hearts. But friends, this mission that Jesus was on continues on today with the ministry of the body of Christ continuing to seek the lost. Continuing to go out of our way, continuing even to be bold, continuing to be courageous. Oh, brothers and sisters, we must continue engaging with the lost. We must continue seeking the lost. We must have courage speaking to them. And may I just encourage us, let's use hospitality for evangelistic purposes. Let's use hospitality, meeting up with people and introduce him to Jesus. We don't know how Jesus wants to use us this year for evangelistic purposes. But here's the bottom line. If Jesus sought sinners this way, do you and I follow Jesus in seeking the lost the same way? Are there other ways we make time to speak about Jesus to others? Are there ways in which we stop in what we're doing to make time to seek the lost? Well, friends, working through this passage this week, for me, just sense that nudging. The Lord wanting to encourage me through this passage and challenge me to make more time, to put more priority in seeking the lost, personally, but also as a church together. And when we preach the gospel, we must preach it in such a way that it calls people to turn away their whole lives to Jesus. It's not just an easy decisionism. It's not just praying a prayer. Oh, friends, the gospel we preach must change hearts that change lives, leading to visible signs of repentance. Jesus was able to say, salvation has come into this house when there is visible signs of repentance. As we seek the lost, let's be clear of what it takes to be saved. For Jesus to come over. For Jesus to take on ownership of one's life. And out of that, we begin seeing changes, fruits of repentance. We should not think of salvation in a light-hearted, superficial way. It is not wrong to look for signs of repentance. Jesus here shows us signs of repentance as he points out after Zacchaeus responded in the way he did, salvation has come to this house. Oh, friends, Zacchaeus did all this. Zacchaeus chose to give away half of his possessions because he received Jesus joyfully. You don't give half of your possessions away unless Jesus becomes your joy, first of all. You don't give half of your possessions away grudgingly, with hesitation. No. What first must happen in our hearts is Jesus must become our joy. We must receive him joyfully. Out of that comes any changes. And if there's no sense of you experiencing the joy of meeting Jesus, that's where the problem still lies. We must have eyes to see who is this Jesus. And I wonder, what is it that Zacchaeus saw in Jesus that Zacchaeus thought it's more worthy to have Jesus in my house than to keep half of my possessions? What did Jesus see? What is the vision that Zacchaeus had of Jesus? I don't know what's clear. What's clear is for Zacchaeus, it was more worthy to have Jesus in his house and half of his bank accounts moving forward. That's what Zacchaeus had. Oh, friends, the story of Zacchaeus proves that Jesus can save the hearts of those that the crowds think it's too much. When Jesus saves, he saves. The people Jesus seeks, he saves. Now, you and I may wonder, Jesus, why didn't you do the same thing with the previous rich guy? Why did you not do it for the previous rich man in chapter 18? And the answer is, I don't know. What is clear is that the people whom Jesus seeks and searches, they get saved. Humanly to us, Jesus is giving an invitation to all the lost. To us, Jesus and the places in the Bible where we're told, seek the Lord until he's found. That call is given to all. And yet not all respond in the same way Zacchaeus did. In God's mysterious ways, there's a seeking that God does that always produces results. And no heart is too hardened for Jesus not to be able to break down. The crowds didn't see Jesus as a hope for this sinner. If only they could see that Jesus was about to do in Zacchaeus' life, but they couldn't see it. Friends, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost when the crowds don't want it. And today, my dear friends, this word challenges us to follow the Jesus who seeks and saves the lost. Christ is physically in heaven until he comes again. But he will come again. Until then, you and I, those of us who are the body of Christ, are called to seek the lost and to introduce him to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have sent us your Son, Jesus, to be the God who is looking for the lost, even for those whom we think are too hard. Father, we pray that you would work powerfully by your Holy Spirit to work salvation in the hearts of those who seem too far, too hardened. Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts, increase in us the confidence that you will do it. Give us compassionate hearts for those who are lost. Give us hearts to go out of our way to seek those who are far from you. Guard us from judgmentalism that keeps us away from believing, knowing what you can do for those who cannot save themselves. Oh Lord, we pray that you would continue to seek and save those who are lost, even those who might still be here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.